Hi everyone, this is Selina Ahankur. Welcome again at Anchor Podcast. This is the second episode of the season of identity. As I said, I'm going to interview 8 remarkable power ladies. And today I have one of these remarkable power women sitting in cross of me. We're going to ask her about her identity. Who was she? Who is she now? And who does she want to become? So stay with us. Hera. Okay, let's get started. Khadija, I've contacted you because I know you. You are one of my few guests that I really know. And I've always admired you, and I always thought, because when I thought I had to interview some power women, a lot of names popped up in my mind, and you were one of these women, because to me, you are a very inspiring and strong woman. And I hope the listeners, no, I'm sure my listeners would think the same way after the podcast. I've contacted you, and I've asked you, do you want to do a podcast with me about the theme of identity, and you immediately said yes.
Yes.
And voila, here we are. And let's just dive in it with the first question. What is identity to you?
Well, before I'm going to answer this question, I really feel honored because of being here, and I'm happy to be here, and happy to have, you know, that you're having me here. And Selina, when you asked me this question, as funny as it is, I really started thinking about my identity. I was like, what is actually the answer of identity, and where do I come from, and what is it? And so many things came alongside. Because in my lifetime, I have always been struggling about my identity, about who am I actually. And apart from the fact that my parents are Moroccans, or I'm born and raised in Belgium, studied in England.
Right.
And since my 16th of birthday, I've been a globetrotter. So
yes.
Who is Khadija actually? Even when I got married, I first lived in Amsterdam.
That's what I mean. That's why I choose you. Because I didn't know all of these. But I knew you have a unique path of identity. And actually, I am curious about
really?
Who you are. Yes, because I know you, but I'm still curious about what you're going to say.
Yeah.
So please, feed me.
Well, I was traveling from one country to another country, and when I meet people and they think of starting a simple conversation with me by asking me a simple question about who I am, I suddenly experienced this huge error in my mind, because I need to explain a very big, a very big thing to them, and I don't know where to start. So I prefer to become silent, because a straightforward answer is too easy, too superficial.
Yeah.
But a long answer is, again, too much. It's like, okay, I just want to ask who you are. Don't give me a lecture.
Right.
But the thing is, you need the explanation in order to understand who I am.
Because you're not...
I'm not...
You're not just you know, born in one country and raised by two, just plain.
I
and
actually
went
normal.
To a plain, you are normal.
But still different.
But still very different.
Yeah, and I need to explain that, because when they say, oh, you're Moroccan, I have to know everything about the Moroccan lady and about the Moroccan society and about Morocco itself. But I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. So, for example, I do not meet the conditions of how a Moroccan woman should be. And I don't drink beer and I don't eat pork like the Belgian people do.
Yeah.
So who am I?
You're Khadija, and you're unique. So tell us.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us.
And moreover, I don't feel connected towards the identity, as in being a Moroccan lady from Morocco.
Right.
And I don't feel, feel fully attached to the identity of me being born in Belgium as a Belgian.
As a Western lady.
Yes, exactly. So I don't fit in one world, and I also don't fit in another world. So I just had to make my own world, and that's me. And like that.
All right, that's very interesting. You had to make your own world. Does that mean that's a world in between the Moroccan lady and the Western lady? Is that a world in between?
Yeah.
Definitely. Is that who you are today?
Yes.
Okay.
As if we speak about identity, then yes. If you go to my ID card, I have a Belgian ID card, but I also have a Carte Nationale from Morocco.
Yes, I have that too. Very nice to have. Very nice to have that, by the way, if you're traveling.
Yeah, and when I go to Morocco, they get really angry and they say, "Fini a carte nationale dialect."
Exactly.
I have the privilege to pretend I don't speak Arabic, and I say, "Sorry, I don't speak any Arabic."
With your scarf, because I do that too, Khadija, but I don't wear a scarf because,
like I said, for example, I don't feel connected towards the identity as in being a Moroccan lady from Morocco.
Exactly.
And I don't feel fully attached to the identity of me being born in Belgium as a Belgian lady.
Yes.
Yeah, like I gave you the example before. But I just wanted to tell you once when I was in Jordan and we were just, you know, discussing a certain thing, one of the teachers, she said to me, "أنت عربية لكن عقلك بريطاني." I was like, oh my God, another country.
Yeah, that's
which
exactly
means,
that.
Like, you're an Arab, but your mind is British. And you know, I was silent and she made me think and ponder about, you know, the statement that she made.
Yes.
Because what does she mean by it? That was my first question. And I understand her in a way because I wasn't fond of the cultural way of living that I saw in Jordan.
Exactly.
Yet I wasn't accepting fully the Western way of living either. I just created my own world.
And how old were you when she asked you this question, Khadija?
I was about 19, 20 years old.
So you were actually an adolescent.
Yes,
so
exactly.
It was not a... Yeah. Okay, so it's what is the right time to think about your identity.
Exactly, yeah.
And she asked you,
I was already facing so many things.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was in England and there were a lot of Asian people around me. But I come from Belgium and I have to understand... I even met this girl and I was like... Oh, there is another girl from Belgium. She was here. And I was really happy because I was really homesick, like for 3 months.
Of course.
And I went to her and I said, "Oh, hallo, spreek je Nederlands?" And she said, "Tu parles français?"
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, again, I'm not meeting the people from the same.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, from where I come from, my whole life I had to just move on with everything that comes along in my life.
Yeah, and make the best of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe a question to make things clear for the listeners.
Yeah.
You went to England to boarding school.
Yes.
To Islamic boarding school.
Yeah.
To study the Islam.
Yes.
And everything that comes with it,
yes,
like the Quran,
exactly.
The Islam, the...
Yeah.
Right. And you stayed there how long?
For 3 years.
And how old were you when you went to England?
I was 16.
That's a very important
and
dangerous age to leave home and
still.
To go to another country. Was that your decision?
Yes, definitely. I was so happy and I couldn't wait. I just never felt... I never felt like in Belgium to be myself because even here I wasn't accepted. When I decided to wear my headscarf, there was so much, how do you say it? Like, no, you shouldn't wear it. And there were so many judgmental things about your father. He made you wear
right.
it, or your brother. And
we know that.
Yeah, all this stuff. And you know, if they just let me be myself, probably I would have wore it for one day and the next day I would wear something else.
Hat maybe.
Yeah, hat or nothing.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
A ponytail.
Yeah, exactly. But they made me think.
Yeah.
They were actually the reason of me thinking, how come a headscarf heeft zoveel stof doen op mij?
Yeah, oh my God. Let's translate that. How come a headscarf, like when we say so much stof doen op wire, make so much noise?
Exactly.
And
right? I was like, why? And I couldn't
understand. It's still the case, by the way. It's never going to stop. It's never going to
stop. Yeah,
exactly. So you went to boarding school when you were 16 until you were 19?
Yes.
And then was that period significant in shaping your identity? In making you the woman you are today? Mm-hmm. And if so, in what way?
Well, to be honest, I was actually in an Islamic environment with only ladies.
Yes.
So there were no boys. And we were not allowed to go out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually, I feel really strong. And that's when we come to identity. I believe it is kind of a little bit of your own character. You're born with it. Because I could have, you know, go with the flow and accept everything and their way of living, because I have seen many things, cultural things from Asian people, the way they get married. But I never embraced their way of living. I never said, okay, I will settle for this. I was always like rebellious. And I always decided to use the Islamic religion in order to feel free. It was funny, actually. So I decided to ask myself, who am I? Like, who am I really in character, in life, in situations, in making decisions?
Right.
They define actually my identity.
Who is they?
They, like those characteristics, the way okay. I deal in situation, like, do I steal? Do I lie?
Like your personality.
Yes, exactly. But that's what I think really defines my character and my identity.
Your character. But yes. Who defined your character?
Me.
You.
God,
along the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
He
so you.
Me.
Okay. So you mean like you when you get born,
yeah.
You come with a certain type of character, which
yes.
is true.
Yeah.
And then you go along your life,
yeah.
and then you meet education, you meet a parenting
exactly.
Environment, and they shape you as well.
Yeah.
If you allow that.
Yes. And it doesn't matter what you do in life. Like, for example, I'm a coordinator in a daycare, and I've been a Islamic teacher. I'm a traveler. I did photography. These are all the things that I did, but my character defines how I deal with all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's greater. And when you ponder about it deeply, it's more than just, my identity is I'm Moroccan and I'm Belgian. I think it's
of course.
Not,
of course.
It's not, you know, because people also have an idea of who is a Moroccan lady or who is
yes.
a Belgian lady,
yes.
how is she supposed to be? And that's why I think defining my identity is those characteristics, they define Khadija and who she really, really is.
Okay. And the way you deal in situations.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, your norms and your values in
yeah,
life.
That's I think that's like the beautiful, because you can be born in a certain culture,
yeah.
but you can feel odd. So who
yes.
are you?
Yeah, exactly.
And there are so many people, they live or they are born in a kind of society, but they don't feel home. So they're going to keep on searching and searching and searching. And when you said before you were 16, it's crucial when you go to a different
yeah.
country,
yeah.
yet it didn't hold me back in being who I am.
But actually, I admire you, because if I think about myself when I was 16, if I had the chance to go to a boarding school, I was probably partying.
Yeah.
To be
maybe,
honest.
Yeah, but maybe I would have done it as well, but I didn't, because
when you're there,
I didn't have this option, first of all. And second of all, I wasn't thinking about that, because I was thinking about greater things. I was like,
yeah.
I was thinking about stuff too big, actually, for me.
For your age.
Yeah,
it was yes.
too big. And I just embraced it. And I felt
yeah.
challenged about it. And I yeah. just moved along.
And you stayed there 3 years. And then
yeah.
you came back to Belgium?
Yeah, I came back to Belgium. And I had this idea of how an Islamic woman should be. And I
mm-hmm.
was always thinking about freedom, 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 freedom. And everyone was saying she's oppressed, 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 oppressed. And I wanted to say, no, she's free. Because, you know, God, he also said that لا إكراه في الدين, there is no compulsory in religion, and you should do things towards God in a loving way.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And what do we have if we have someone and she does everything, but she doesn't do it because of her, you know, love for Allah towards
yes,
him?
Exactly.
And that's that picture, I didn't lose it. I kept it and I held it, and it's actually my journey to move on. That's
yes.
why I don't like judgmental people from
oh,
both sides.
Yes.
From both
me
sides,
neither.
Western sides and
yes,
also
me neither.
The Islamic sides.
Yes.
Yeah.
But to judge is something that your brain does automatically towards things, just to have an idea. And maybe those things, I'm not talking about judging people's appearance or judging, but the brain has an automatic way of judging something to keep you safe. but we people lose that control mm-hmm. over when to judge and when not to judge and when to accept the judging, the automatically judging mm-hmm. that your mind does.
Yeah.
And we start judging each other for everything
exactly,
and thinking and
yeah.
having a thought. Because when you see someone with a headscarf
yeah.
and you have never seen a headscarf, it's normal that you ask yourself, why is she wearing that?
Yeah,
what's
exactly,
the idea behind it?
Yeah.
And you know, because me, I am extremely interested in Judaism.
Yeah.
I am
of
like,
course,
why are you wearing that wig? It's the same thing as hair. So if hair is, you know, yeah. seducing, so is a wig.
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
Yes.
But I will never say that. So Khadija, that's very nice. Talk about where you came from,
yeah.
what you did, and what shaped your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, your characteristics
mm-hmm.
shaped your identity and thank personality
you.
Shaped your identity. Who you were born with, partly.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So tell us, who are you today?
Well, if I look at myself, I see myself today as a very independent woman. I know what I want in life, and I know where I want to go. The people I love are very dear to me, so I would do anything for them. And I accept that some people come along on my path, but may also only be a chapter. That's okay.
Yes.
You know, you
visitors.
Can, yeah, exactly. They can come and go. And before I used to cry a lot and say, oh my God, why? But now it's like, thank you.
Yeah.
I just embrace the fact that they have been a chapter because I've learned many things. And now I'm
yeah.
telling you, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we may see each other again, but then, you know, we will see.
Yes.
Also, moving on with the conviction that God is in control and that I only need to trust him is a very satisfying feeling.
Because the script is already written.
Exactly. So
let
yeah,
it go.
I just let it go as well.
And
that
enjoy.
Way.
Exactly.
And I really want to make this statement because, as you said, I wear a headscarf. I
yes.
am free and I am not oppressed. And the choices I make in life are really mine. They're not someone else's, both the good and the less good. I don't say bad because even the bad I want to embrace and learn from it. So it's good in the end of the day. And no one is responsible for myself but myself. That's very important to know.
That's in your case that
yeah.
way. But do you believe that in case of other women, that is not the fact that they're completely responsible and in control of their own decisions?
Well,
do you see that
I
around you?
You know, when I see someone who's like feeling miserable and not happy, I always think, what a loss, you can change it.
Yeah.
You can really change it. You know what the thing is? Taking the step to change is very difficult. You can see it as a gay guy, you know, when he's in a locker. He doesn't get out of the locker because, you know, he's scared of the environment and this
right.
and that. And he knows he will face a lot of, you know, a lot of, how do you say it, turbulations
mm-hmm.
and people not accepting him, etc. But once he does that, and he goes through the trial of you know feeling really you know hurt and everything and not accepted, in the end he will be accepted anyway.
Yes.
It will happen. So I think I do believe that you have to take a step in changing your life, but you also have to take the circumstances with it.
Yeah.
And if you stay in the same position,
yes.
well, you will not change.
You will be
stay.
Safe in
yeah.
your comfort zone,
yeah.
but nothing will change.
No, exactly. And
So you were telling us that you are in control of every decision that you make.
Yes.
You are not suppressed. You are free.
Exactly.
You are independent. You
yeah.
do what you please when you please. And
yeah.
all the decisions are yours, even the less good.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
at the end of the day,
it's
even the wrong decisions.
They helped me. The wrong decisions helped me more than the
more
right ones.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I
used to have students, I never used to tell them don't make mistakes. I always used to say, if you make mistakes and you fall down, get up again.
That's it, yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Just get up,
yeah. And move
okay.
on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I make mistakes, I have to understand I need to take full responsibility. Don't say it's your fault or your fault or your fault. It's your life and you are
mm-hmm.
in control. So go for it. And that's
yeah.
that's something really very important to me as a woman, to embrace and love myself in spite of all the opinions people have.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of all what they have, it doesn't matter. I have to detach myself, and then I have to think and be alone and talk to God in my way.
Yes.
And then I have to move on.
Yeah.
And it helps.
Yeah, it helps. I know. I can do that as well. Go within is the only way.
Yeah.
Don't search for solutions outside.
No.
Go into your room, lock the doors.
Exactly.
Blind
everyone needs it.
Yeah. You know, blind the windows. Sit down. And that's it. Don't go, you know, you have to ventilate. You have to talk to people, of course.
Yes.
But do not expect too much of solutions.
No,
every solution is in prayers, is within you. Is within
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
It's going to be shown.
Yeah.
So, Khadija, my last question to you. Who or what contributed to your current identity?
Also, this question is a very nice question. And I straight away, when I thought about this question, I thought about struggles.
Right.
Definitely struggles that I faced in my life.
Yeah.
They contributed to who I am today. And without those struggles, I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be sitting here telling you my story, because probably I would feel too nervous, too, you know,
right.
Like, you know, no, let someone else do this. Or even though if I look into my heart, you know, Khadija now in front of you is the real Khadija.
Mm-hmm.
How I was when I was 8 years old, 9 years old, because I always wanted to be a journalist. I used to go in front of the mirror and I didn't know Arabic.
That would
then.
Suit you.
Then I would just, you know, do like this. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد.
So you just were reciting a piece of Quran because that was the only Arabic that you knew.
Exactly,
oh my gosh, amazing.
Yeah. And I was always, you know, looking at Al Jazeera, and I was, you know, I was looking at Shirin. She always used to say, Shirin Abu Aqli, Al Jazeera, Ramallah. And I was, you know, And so in a way, that's why I'm thinking identity is your character. It's like who you are born with.
Exactly.
It's your talent. It's what God gave you as a gift.
Yes.
Yeah. But you need struggles
to shape it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like diamonds. You have diamonds, but you need to shape it in order to shine bright like a diamond.
Shine bright like a diamond. Would you change something? Anything from your past, a decision, a person, a path that you walked that you said that you think no?
No.
Would you change anything?
No, maybe if you have asked me this question like a couple of years back, I probably would have said yes.
But now you won't
But
change.
No, now at this very moment, I am so, so thankful for everything, even the tears that I had, the loneliness, you know, when I was standing alone.
Yes.
And I came across, you know, tough decisions I had to make, you know, the breakup I've been going through. It was really, really difficult. And at that moment, obviously, I was really angry and I was, you know,
frustrated.
I was really like so emotional. And I was also expecting, you need to help me. I am really like, you know, I'm sad and I'm this. And then I had this feeling in my heart and in my mind, I don't need you. I don't need people. If you really want to be a queen, you need to stand by yourself.
Right.
And you need only in my situation, because everyone sees it differently, I only need God.
Yes.
And if I have him, then I don't really care about anyone else.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's the way I live my life.
Not for you to lift to lift you up, because, you know, at the end of the day, having a community of networking with each other, it's a nice thing. But
of
at the
course,
end of the day, you're going to be the one who have to do it for you.
Exactly.
You're
going
to be the one who have to stand up, wipe the tears in front of the mirror, and talk to yourself that you're strong, you can do that.
Yes.
No one is with you when you're
because
at
you
your
know,
lowest.
The thing is, I could have never done that if I didn't go through the pain.
Right.
So the hardship and the loneliness, I always sought safety in the earlier, but, you know, well, I love adventure.
Yeah.
I wanted more, yet I chose less, because the environment led me to believe that.
Right.
Don't do too much, just, you know, and the fire in me
settle
always
down.
Used to say, no,
go
forward. And sometimes I used to settle and think, khalas, okay, this is it.
Yeah,
but when the fire is there, it will not be, you know, it will not be, how do you say it,
I know what you mean, like, but I don't. Yeah, it delighted, like
exactly. It will keep on firing,
even
up.
If it's a little flame.
Yes,
the flame will still be there, and you will keep feeling that urge to.
Yes.
Yeah. To move forward. You know how my mom calls the flame?
How?
Sar. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh she knows God. Like the flame. I'm like, no, mom, that's passion.
Yes.
Like
yes.
You have that too. Yeah. It's still in you because, yeah. But that it's true. The flame is small, and from the moment that you feel you want to do this, like the urge is there to do more.
But to be honest, I think it's really funny that she names it like that.
Sad, like the urge, like yeah. The burning desire, the yeah, passion exactly. To go to do more, to see more. And I know exactly what you mean. Okay, Khadija, we are going to end this podcast. I enjoyed it so much.
Me too, honestly.
Really.
It was nice speaking to you, to be honest.
Me yeah. Too. I didn't expect what you were going to say. I didn't just gave you the you know, to prepare yourself, but yeah. I am surprised.
Oh, that's nice.
Actually, I'm really, really surprised, and I'm loving this. But to end this podcast, could you speak directly to the listeners? I'm sure a lot of women can relate with you or, you know where you came from. Can you speak directly to listeners and tell them what it is for you that is so valuable mm-hmm. and that life taught you along the way?
Yes, definitely. I am really inspired by Oprah Winfrey.
Me too, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, I really think she's amazing.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Really. I love her.
And when I was reading, and I usually listen to her talks, she said something that really hit me, and I feel in my way of life, I also came across this. And she said, I live in the space of thankfulness. And for that, I have been rewarded a million times over.
Really?
Yeah, that's what she said. And she also said, I started out giving thanks for small things.
Wow.
And the more thankful I became, the more my bounty increased. That's because for sure, what you focus on expands.
Exactly.
Yeah, when you focus on the goodness in life, you create more of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I wrote a quote about it yeah. today for Anchor.
And
focus.
You know, the nicest thing that why it hit me so much is because I am inspired by what Allah said in the Quran. Because He said, it brings me to one of my favorite verses in the Quran in Surah Ibrahim, verse 7. He said, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ.
And if you're not thankful for what you have, you're not going to get more of that,
no,
right?
No, if you are thankful. So he says,
if you are thankful yeah, what you have, I yeah, will give you more.
Exactly. So he okay. says, and remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will certainly give you more. So if we start being more grateful for the things that we get in life and, you know, be less judgmental,
yes,
then that would be nice. And also the love.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. And I really want to tell you guys, those who are listening to this, that we should be really thankful. The grass isn't greener on the other side. It really
yes.
isn't.
The grass is greener where you water it.
Exactly. Very nice.
Where you water it, yeah. Not where it's greener. Where no. you put your water and your focus and you're working.
Yeah, and exactly. It reminds me that my plants are dead.
Oh my God. Hurry up at home and give them some water. But I it's very interesting that you say that, Khadija, because I had this journal, the 6-minute journal. I yeah. bought it. You can buy it, by the way, guys. 6-minute journal.
Yeah.
And it focuses on being thankful. It is a journal that goes for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And every day you have to write in that journal twice a day. In okay. the morning for 3 minutes and in the evening for 3 minutes. Mm. That's why it's called 6-minute journey.
Yes.
And it focuses on the things that you're grateful. And it starts like that. I am grateful for. And it's really, really small things that you start with. I am grateful for that I got in the car this morning and it was freezing and my car started without an issue.
Oh.
I am grateful for that I had I have heat. It's cold outside and my house is warm. I am grateful for. So I did this for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And my life changed drastically.
Oh, wow.
I did not expect you were going to end this podcast yeah. with that. But this is so ironic and not coincidence. But being thankful, learning to be thankful changed my life.
Oh, wow. I really
from a depression.
Yes.
From a very, very deep to being extremely happy.
Yes.
And it is a truth that you get more.
Yeah, like, of course.
Blessings definitely come along the way because you're thankful. So that's so amazing, that your advice to the listeners.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much, Khadija, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
It was an honor.
To me as well,
it was even fun.
Yeah, we loved. We need to do this to do this more often.
Yeah. We need to go
to write away our emotions.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring a microphone and hide it under the table. By the way, I just know for sure that whatever you're gonna say is gonna be inspiring.
And we're trying.
You're amazing.
Both of us.
Thank you so much for guys. I will give you a little. So that was it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I am Selina Ahankur for Anchor's podcast, and I just interviewed Khadija Akuk. We were so delighted and honored to have you with us. Please follow the next episode with some more power ladies that will inspire you and empower you. Thank you so much, guys. Anchor's down.